Hello, everybody. This is Jasmine.
And this is Michael.
And I'm the Walking Dead Girl. You're listening to Fear the Walking Dead Girl, episode 109. In this podcast, we review and discuss the hit TV show Fear the Walking Dead from AMC. In addition to reviewing the show, we play listener feedback, so join the conversation.
If you want to give us feedback on the show, you can send email to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. You can go to our website, thewalkingdeadgirl.com/voicemail, to leave voicemail feedback. And you can post a comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thewalkingdeadgirlpodcast. We routinely read feedback and comments on the show.
Before we get started, as always, I want to remind you guys that we will be discussing every gory detail about the TV show, so obviously there will be spoilers. So make sure you watch the current episode before listening.
I love this episode, even though it felt like a filler one.
It did feel like a filler one, because I was almost about to fall asleep.
Nothing happened.
Nothing really happened. What I did like is that they explained what happened in the beginning scene with between Madison and Strand, but it wasn't anything we didn't already know or we couldn't assume ourselves.
Yeah, there's I have a lot of criticisms on this episode.
Oh, geez.
A lot of criticisms.
It just didn't do it for me. The only redeemable part of this episode was Alicia's acting.
Uh-huh. You like her, don't you?
I really do. Ah. Her act is really believable. When she was talking to her mom about how she actually really needed her, when she realized she was gone.
She actually cried.
Yes. Real tears. Acting. No, but I liked it because it seemed real and authentic, and like she was going through this in the moment, like as it was happening. As she was confronting it, she was realizing. And I really liked it. Besides that, it gets two ughs for me.
I
was totally I mean there was no even hesitation seeing Nick and what's her face,
Luciana.
I was like, damn girl, you tried. That took a long time.
Well, first of all,
I didn't understand why. When he said, hey, I have a question for you. I heard that you test people. That was an invitation for her to kiss him.
How did you translate that to a kiss? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I'm like, was she going to do it this whole time? Or because he asked her about it, she was like, you know what? I'm going to reward this kid for knowing things about me. I don't know. No sense. Girls are weird.
Okay. Well, since we're diving into the episode, you know, Nick is super slick. First of all, not only did he score with the most beautiful
girl on the show,
a character on the Walking Dead series, period.
Not just
this series, but the original series. Like,
yes, she blows everyone out of the water.
I looked on her IMDb profiles, and her photos on there are like supermodel level quality.
Jeez, those cheekbones, man.
And so, yeah, I got to give it to him for scoring big time and, you know, for using the death of her brother.
Oh, my God. As an in.
As an in. He is super slick. I'm like, oh, yeah, here we go.
Boyfriend. I'm sorry about your boyfriend. He was my brother.
Oh. So you're detached. And here's a moment where let me comfort you. Yes, I'm comforting you.
Oh, my God.
And the opportunity to kind of, get a little closer.
Yeah, because as soon as, like, he gave her a hug, they separated, and already his magic was, like, working on her. I was like, geez, man, you don't even slow down.
This is, like, George Costanza-level slyness of, like, Seinfeld. Whereas, like... Here, there was one episode where he's like, I'll go to your father's funeral or something, and I'll get like a bereavement fare for the flight. Like, he'll get a cheap flight.
Oh, yeah, I remember that episode.
He
wanted a cheap flight because he didn't want to pay he wanted to use the discount.
Yeah, but it's like, okay, let me hug you here. Yeah, I'm so sorry your brother died, you know, I know how it is. And there's like multiple level of connections, like, because she said her father died previously, and Nick said,
and he said, my dad father. Also died previously. And then she's like, I never saw you as somebody who had a family. I'm like, oh my God. And he's like, yeah, I got all kinds of family.
Okay, oh yeah, I got a mom, I got a sister.
She was the golden child. I was the rebel.
And jeez. Yeah, so like, you know, I'm not a drug addict after all. You know, I got stuff happening here.
Yeah, he knows that she thinks he's brave and that, you know, she was testing him. He's like, I know your tricks.
If you think back, a lot of stuff she was doing was like...
She probably liked him from day one.
Yeah, when she peered at him through those binoculars. As he passed down...
That was the crappiest he's ever looked.
As he passed out.
And she's like, oh my God,
that's an attractive, bony, that's an attractive bony looking guy.
Oh my God.
With blood on his face. Well, you noticed that when they showed her in the previous episodes where she was putting blood on her face to camouflage from the walkers.
Yeah.
She was like putting it on like it was makeup. Like she had like a little...
Yeah, exactly.
She had like a slash on her forehead, a slash on her cheek.
It looked like a tut or something. I was thinking the same exact thing. Like when they were going to deliver the drugs. And I'm like, are they covered in blood? Or is that just like leftover from a previous like fight or something? Because... What is that? It's not even on her forehead. It's like on her hairline.
Well, it's like, oh, she's so beautiful that we don't want to mess up her beauty with blood. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's how it felt like.
Yeah, that's what it really did feel like.
And when
she's
Madison,
so why people are watching this show? We need to keep her pretty.
And when Madison was like covering herself with
she was drenched.
She was like drenched in blood.
She looked like a skeleton.
Like,
it was,
what is this?
I know. They could clearly like have preference for the good-looking characters.
Oh yes, of course. The big highlight of this episode, I mean, it was super slow, but the big highlight was Nick hitting on Luciana.
Yeah, Luciana.
Yeah, and he was doing his like, oh, I'm learning Spanish. It's like, ooh, wow,
oh, yeah,
this is so
sleep.
Trust me, any a girl, like if you want to make a girl attractive to you, Let's just pretend to be smart. Like, just try to do smart things. Like, yeah, I'm studying your language. I'm doing this. Yeah, and like,
I care.
And just make mistakes while you're speaking it.
Like, so it gives her more reason to correct you.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, this is so cute. He's learning my language.
Okay.
Oh.
Immediately, I knew that. Okay, she's down. She wants him because she came one at night. Oh, I'm tired. I'm too tired to sleep. What?
And the ten.
I'm too tired to sleep.
I know. What does that make sense? I'm so tired, I can't sleep. It's like people saying, I'm so hungry, I can't eat. Like, I'm beyond hungry now. It's like I can't eat now.
It's funny, but that's clearly a cover for why you're really here. And she fell asleep. She's like,
that was a test.
Yeah,
she fell asleep. She fell asleep. And he didn't attack her in her sleep. So she's like, okay, well. He didn't attack me. He had an opportunity to jump me.
He's like, you can stay if you want. He's like, no. She's like, she said this. No, people will talk
about us. Yeah.
But she stays anyway.
Oh, like who's gonna talk? Like who cares?
Who cares?
It's like everyone's dying of starvation.
People are worrying about their own problems right now. Like, oh, I don't know, how am I gonna deal with my dead father's head?
Or like, how am I gonna survive without any food? You know.
Yes.
And no running
water.
There's
a little girl crying in the beginning of this episode because her father's dead.
They're not going to, like, I think...
You think she or anybody else gives a crap about who's hooking up with who?
This episode is...
No!
And, okay, I'm going to go on again because, like I said, there's so many things this episode. Did you for even one moment feel any kind of fear at all when they were leading the walkers out to the pier? Like, did you say, oh, this is going to fail, everyone's going to die? No.
No, not once.
I felt like, okay.
I didn't even know the walkers were following them. They were so freaking far away, and they cut to each of them so short. There was one moment they tried to get us scared. Madison's like, she should be here by now. And they meet up in the middle, and 2 seconds later, she's there.
Like, they put so much dramatic music, like, oh my God, something's going to happen. And nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
Why couldn't they just have someone get bitten at least?
Yeah, they had all these extra characters they could kill off.
They got all these guests that do nothing there. And
the only time I saw one guest was when she was helping take the branches off, and she looked like she stabbed herself with the freaking branch.
When she was piling on the thing.
Yeah. It was so overdone. I was like,
And okay.
Okay.
Alicia's like, oh, I got this brilliant plan. Like, mm-hmm. Isn't that what Daniel did in the first season? He drew all the walkers to the military base.
That was cool what he did.
Yeah.
He walked by himself in the night drawing over thousands of walkers from a stadium to overrun a compound.
Well, what I'm saying is that it's been done before.
Okay, first of all, when she was going onto the water, I'm like, oh, this is something cool. She's thinking of something. And I thought she was stuck or something. And she's like, the riptide. Oh! And I thought we were going to see walkers get tripped in the riptide. And they're going to like make a line of like protection or something. But no, it's BS, man.
And Rick Grimes did it. Well, it was a kind of...
Everyone does.
It's like, okay. Well, I guess my point is...
had like a whole...
My point is that I'm getting tired. Tired of these things now. And
it wasn't even a lot.
And also the way that Madison and Strand escaped again.
Whenever they have a secret compartment that lets them breathe for a second while they kill walkers.
And I feel like it's like okay when any character is trapped, I'll just throw blood on them and then they can like this whole blood on the face, the blood mask I call it now. Of walking through the walkers is basically the whole theme of the Fear of the Walking Dead now, because Nick uses it on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's like his
Luciana,
second skin.
Luciana and her group use it on a daily basis. Like that's how they go out for food and stuff, right? They basically put this disguise on.
We're so smart. We figured this out on our own. And it was like so PG too, because when they were taking the blood and stuff from the walkers, remember how when we first saw it being done with Daryl, how he like ripped open the stomach and they were pulling out they're pulling out stuff and they had like intestines and stuff all over them and they were dripping with like entrails. Blood. And then Strand had the audacity to be like, oh, really? What is that? It looks like cranberry juice. Come on now.
But but the thing is, it's kind of a standard thing. It's like, if we want to like get out into the outside world, we put this disguise on and then we just walk through the walkers and then come back and we're cool. Like there's no fear now anymore.
Yeah.
There's basically no, why do they call it Fear of the Walking Dead? Because I'm not fearing anything.
I'm not scared out of my seat.
You know, this
episode was so boring.
It's like, okay, well now we're just going to put stuff on our face and walk through and then that's it. That's kind of the thing now. Okay, so we've basically neutralized the walker threat now. It's not a threat anymore.
Yeah, it took so long for the people over at Walking Dead to be able to do that. But they backed it up with like excellent storytelling.
Yeah, and it's kind of a rare thing. And when they do it, it never works 100%. It always kind of fails.
Someone always ends up dying. Or like every episode, somebody's almost dies from a walker attack. You're like, oh my God, everybody could die at any second. You know what I mean? In this show, it's just like,
obviously the hotel is not a safe place because we all know that there is no safe place. Something is going to happen. Madison's plan. I mean, mainly I think, it's not going to work because there's too much conflict inside of the group.
First of all, can I just talk about that last scene with Strand, please? I know we're jumping the gun here, but if we're going to criticize the beginning of the show,
go all over the place,
then let me just say that.
You're talking about Strand.
When he went over to the guy who was supposed to be married to the girl that got bit. He went up to him and they had a conversation. Tell me why I had no idea what they were talking about. This whole time I thought, is the mother in the bedroom? Why won't he let her go in there? Well, let Strand go in there. Only until like the last second where he says, oh, your death pardons you. I'm like, death pardons you? What, marriage? Oh my God, Jessica, that woman's in there? What? I had no... And then he was already too late. He already opened the door and walked in. The show was over before I realized, oh my God, the girlfriend, the wife is in there.
Yeah.
I was so...
It happened to me.
That's bad storytelling. That's just bad between them.
Something wrong with the editing or the way it was done.
No, I know exactly why. I learned this in acting class. If you fall asleep... If you're watching a stage production,
did you fall asleep?
Like, I did. I did, and I know why now. It's not because I'm tired. Maybe it was, but it was kind of. But it was also because, and I didn't understand what was happening because They weren't, there was no change in their discussion. There was no stakes. There was no importance in what they were talking about. They were talking like very monotone and like uninterested almost. Strand started crying and I didn't know why until I had to rewatch that scene. I'm like, oh, what he's saying is really sad, but I don't believe him. And they say if you're like busy looking at stage lights or like wondering what we're going to have for dinner, you know, the actors and the directors aren't doing their job, because I was lost. And I was like, this is BS, man. This is a great scene. And they totally killed it by being uninteresting. I don't know. I just, ugh.
Yeah, I agree. It happened to me too, where I, because he was standing guard and I thought, the mother's in there and he's just standing out there trying to keep, you know, stranding them away because of the discussion they had previously. And it's like, okay, it's like enough. She doesn't want to talk to you, blah, blah, blah. That's kind of how I felt, right?
Yeah. I had no idea that it was about, oh,
well,
yeah.
I didn't fall asleep, but still I didn't get it. And then the scene immediately before that
was them at dinner
and Madison's like, oh, where's the other folks? Right. And it's like,
yeah, they said multiple people. So I was expecting both of them to be there, but well, Strand was only.
Yeah. So I thought Strand went to get them.
Yeah.
The missing people.
Yeah. I had no idea Strand knew I don't even know what point Strand knew that it was his wife that was in there. Because
well,
I didn't
Strand,
see that.
Strand is super smart. And also, he's a good reader of people, right? He knows kind of, because when Madison, in the early scene when Madison was trying to convince the group to help them, like
the
mother and stuff, after they left, Strand said to Madison, you know, you convinced some people, but you still have to get to the mother and, you know, the key people. So I think Strand was kind of figuring out what the key issue was. And the key issue was Jessica, I guess, was still like a walker around and they were like clinging to her and stuff. There was some so I think Strand, the reason why he went up there to kill the walker Jessica was to cut off that tie to the past and get the group to think that
moving forward,
think of the future and work together. And that was his main goal. Yes, you know, it was kind of to help, but I think, you know, he did it for strategically. And also, he recalled his story about him, his love life and what happened to him, and kind of reflecting like, yep, same thing with me. This is what happened to me. I had to put down his lover and stuff like that. So
all of that was lost to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was poor job there.
Yeah. I mean, I had to watch it a second. I always watch the episodes twice, but the second time is when it clicked in more.
Starts clicking, but not everybody's like us and they're crazy, you know? They're not like, they don't have podcasts. They don't have this chance
to analyze it. And then, so Strand was kind of, that's why he was crying, because he was remembering
back. He could relate.
So what do you think about Strand and his downturn that his character is taking right now, his depressing kind of mood that he's in now?
Well, it's because he's in like in a free fall right now, because he doesn't know what to do next. He his whole like plan, all of his plans, his whole life has just been totaled. And you know, now he has nothing and nothing. And just like when Madison's like, oh, he said to Madison and after they talked to the group saying, you know, I'll help you clear this, but this isn't a home, you know, because he's still thinking about back home and he's still grieving, even though we don't see it because he hides his emotion well. He still doesn't feel like he's moved on. And I just think he just needs to get out of that rut, just like everybody else. So I'm going to give him, I'm excusing him. I'm pardoning him in this episode.
You're getting the Jasmine pardon.
Yeah. The great professional pardon. Honestly, I just felt he was totally, I don't know. He canned that, this episode. Like, I don't feel like he even was in the episode. Cause like, I didn't believe those tears for a second.
Well, he was going through like, not going through, but he was, apathetic to the whole strategy of getting the walkers.
When
they were clearing the rooms, he was just standing there like whatever, like as Alicia, again, props to Alicia, killer. And like, she's like bam bam, it's like she's really killer Alicia, you know.
Yeah, she's so invested in this show, you know,
in the show.
Yeah, she's so bad. I feel like as an actor,
you mean the actor or the character?
The actress. The actress is so invested in this show and sees the greatness of this show, and she's making it work.
But they're giving her good a character building, though, I think.
That's because she's a good actress and she can do it. Now, I don't see any of that happening for Strand. I feel like he's over it.
He's like, I had my moment in the sun. I'm done.
Yeah, like, now I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to milk it. You know, I'm going to wing it. But I think that's just my actor brain kicking into gear now, because every time I watch a show, I think in the way of, okay, oh, how is this actor tackling this role? Yeah. This role. So I felt like Madison's always on point, although she's just boring now to me. But Strand was just disappointment to me because he was just so passive about the whole thing. I liked the family from the wedding. They're good.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's kind of like, okay, get over your dead daughter. Ugh, okay.
But to the point where the mother's still crying.
I know, like, but it's believable. Like, I felt it. I was like, ooh, you know, she really, they were really suffering.
Prediction.
What?
The issue that they have with Elena, the,
Oh yeah. Oh my God. How awkward was that dinner?
Well, what I'm saying is that the conflict that they have there, where they're blaming Elena for killing their daughter.
It's Elena.
Elena,
have you never seen the name Elena before?
Elena. I think that is not over.
Oh, no.
And
that's juicy stuff right there.
There's going to be a physical confrontation. Like, they're going to fight or something, and they're going to get killed. One of the sides is going to... Either Elena is going to get killed, or...
Or the nephew.
Or someone is going to get killed and probably, like, pushed over the balcony or killed by a walker or something.
I know. I want to see somebody die by a balcony.
Yes, die by a balcony. So I feel that that is still a problem, and that is going to take the whole group down. That's going to basically unravel the whole thing.
But see, the thing is, our group is so
over that.
They probably won't even blink an eye. They won't bat an eye because so many people die already. You know, this is such a
well,
domestic problem.
Well, I mean, it's going to be so bad that it's going to force them to leave the hotel, basically, and go on the road again.
Yeah, I know. They talk about, oh, we're afraid of, like, people coming to take over the hotel. But really, I think they'll destroy themselves from the inside before any of that even happens. Mm-hmm. If they don't pull their crap together.
I mean, you know? Victory to Madison, because, you know... Now
she got to do something.
Yeah, and that will be a lot of positive. So I could see that helping mend the broken bridges or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I still feel that there's something there that is not fixable, and it's going to blow up in their faces.
Irreversible. It's an irreversible wrong.
And plus, you know, we know from the past that none of these, the way the show goes, they don't never stay in one.
Is side character.
They never stay in one place, really.
And I'm surprised that family's still around. You know, I was expecting them to die off a lot sooner, but
well, because
no.
They have all the rations, all the food.
Yeah, but then once the hotel goes up, they're gone. Cut them, you know what I mean?
Well, I'm saying is that they have food there to last them for months.
Which is pretty cool. Do you think they're actually going to stay there for months, or you think something's going to happen that's going to cause them to leave again?
No, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
They're going to leave.
Okay, let's get to the storyline. I think we talk about the whole episode already?
Pretty much. Let's look at stuff that we missed. Let's talk about the Ophelia issue.
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
Over our heads, no one's even talking about her. It's like they don't really care. But Alicia was right. She thinks that, okay, I think Ophelia left because she was done. She didn't think... It doesn't make sense, though. She doesn't think that they're going to make it, so she leaves them so she can, what, kill herself? Or she's going to make it on her own? Or she's going to live in depression? I'm not sure.
Maybe she's leaving the group because she feels that the group doesn't agree with her philosophy. And so
she doesn't want to burden them or anything.
Yeah, leave on her own. And they thought about her for a split second at the beginning. Madison's like, I promised Daniel I would save a protector. And it's like, okay, I give up on that. Let's focus on living here in this hotel. They spend like a few seconds on it, and then they just dropped her like a hot potato.
But I like how you have in the notes here that when Madison and Strand discovered that the truck is missing, you said, oh, could it have been Ophelia? Because I didn't know who would take the truck, but it probably was Ophelia. And... You know, when they talk about how, oh, I, Strand's like, you know, Alicia left.
Yeah.
And then Madison's like, she wouldn't do that, you know?
So there's a thread in this episode too. It's the relationship between Alicia and Madison.
That was also continued basically since they arrived at the hotel. Yes. And Alicia's like, look, you've never taken care of him. You've never taken care of me. I can handle myself. Mm-hmm. You don't get to be a mom now. And that is, that's the thread that plays through all these episodes where Madison realizes, wow, I made herself reliant where she doesn't have to depend on me. And it's benefiting her in the apocalypse. I feel like crap, but in the end, it's working for her benefit.
Yeah. And Alicia gave her a pass and said, well, you didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
She forgives her. It's like, okay, well, that's the past. Now it's the whole world is different. We shouldn't dwell on that kind of stuff anymore.
Yeah. Cause she's like, guess what? I still need you. So now you can like change.
Well, it's like, okay. Yeah. That was that. Now is now. And let's move on, I guess.
Yeah. But
also there's another line where Strand says Alicia is self-reliant and Madison says I made her that.
Yeah, because she's beginning to realize, oh wow, I am the reason why she doesn't need me.
Which is good because maybe we'll stop finally seeing Madison saying, Alicia, get back here, get out of the water.
Alicia,
what are you doing?
I hate when people, I don't know what it is, I hate when people call people's names in the show. In any TV show, I hate when it'd be like, Roger, where are you? Roger. Come on. It's so fake. It sounds so rehearsed. I don't know. But yeah, so what part of the hotel are they in? The motel?
They're all over the place. They've basically taken over. Is this a nice looking hotel? They showed some areas. Like there's a pool. There's
perfect place for white people to experience what quote unquote Mexico is like.
In the protected walls of special hotel. And then there's a nice, well, they were having dinner, was really nice, you know, a nice area. I like how on the show
meals are actual meals. They find importance in sitting down together. Like everyone was dressed up to the nines as best as they can be in the apocalypse. They had lit candles, silverware. I'm like, wow, are we going back to a flashback of the wedding dinner or something?
And also the boat, because they ate well on the boat, too. They had a scene
there. People are spoiled, okay? Jeez. But yeah, so they find water, and Strand's going to give her some, but she's like, no, ration it. And then Strand's like, no, you have to, no, just drink it, we'll find more. Which is actually a smart tip, apocalypse-wise, because they're so early in the apocalypse, it's easy to find water. You shouldn't let yourself dehydrate, because that's the number one reason why people die. Oh,
favorite scene. I have it here in the notes. They lead the walkers out with an iPhone.
Apple products still rule.
Alicia,
the apocalypse.
Alicia walks out, is playing some music on an iPhone. It's like,
good thing I saved this song to my iCloud music library.
I downloaded the music on my iPhone and I can use it. And how did it? Okay, yeah, they got electricity. Well, maybe not. I guess you can charge it in a car.
I don't know why she did. I guess she just wants to listen to music. Again, this is so early into the apocalypse. I'm like, how's she still having a phone?
I'm a little.
Even the nephew was like, look at her when she pulled it out. Because everyone's got like pots and pans and like prehistoric stuff. She whips out her iPhone with her like speaker. She's just like.
Bopping away. Which is kind of a weird thing because it needs electricity to charge. So, you know, what's she doing? The thing is, I'm still trying to figure out the whole power situation in Mexico, because when they were at the house of the Tom's house, Alicia was watching TV, so they had electricity.
Spoiled, man, I'm telling you.
And at the hotel, when they had dinner, they had candles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Nick was reading with candles because they don't have electricity.
But he's somewhere else.
Right, but I mean, it's Mexico. I mean, They're usually, the towns are powered by the same power grid. But again, when they were going from room to room, clearing the rooms, clearly this time I saw him pull out a card, slide it in the door slot, and open the door. Again, those doors only work with that if there is power.
There's electricity. Yeah, I think there is electricity.
So I'm confused. They have some electricity, but not all electricity.
Oh, because the candles? I think they were just doing that for the mood effect.
I don't know, man.
I'm telling you, these people are spoiled. They don't need to use the candles, but they use them. But with Nick,
for the mood, okay.
Well, for Nick, though, I think their place really doesn't have electricity because he was living in a trailer.
Yeah.
I think they're not
consistent with that kind of thing.
It's so early in the apocalypse. They're like, we can get away with it.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm calling that as a mistake, a blooper or something. They're not careful about that power thing. Either they have power or they don't. Make up your mind.
I know.
Let's see. What else do we talk about? We kind of talked about the whole thing. Okay, let's just talk about Nick and also Alejandro and the biting thing.
So
I have an audio clip which I'll play, which is Alejandro describing what happened. So let's
listen
to that.
The first time he asked about it, they totally like brushed it off. I'm like, are we not going to get the story? And they finally do it. I was like, I'm going to be so pissed if they don't tell us the story.
Nick, there was a boy, no older than you. He lived in these streets, an addict. And he tried to steal from me many times. When the world changed, this boy got his hands on something mean. To this day, I have no idea what drug he took, but he was mistaken for a sombra. A mob attacked him, herded him with the other infected. They were killing them. So I rushed in. I tried to save him. There were limbs, jaws, blood. It was chaos. And in this moment, as I was beaten by the living, I was bitten by the dead. A hand found me. And I saw Luciana. She brought me back here. And we waited for death to come.
But it didn't. Just healed.
Yes.
Okay, I'm confused.
Magic happened.
So, I should have wrote this down. I had like a bunch of points now. First of all, how amazing is it that, the person that caused the bite was also a junkie? First of all. And I understand what...
He didn't cause the bite necessarily.
Because he went to go save the kid who was.
He caused it because he pulled the other guy into the mob. But I'm saying that the kid didn't bite him. It's not the kid.
No, I know. I know that. But I'm just saying, I just think, I don't know. The story just didn't add up. So was he at the place? Was he at the camp?
No, it was somewhere else. What he said was, a hand pulled me. And that was Luciana dragging him out and saved him, and then brought him to the camp. Apparently, Luciana is a person that goes around collecting people and bringing them to camp.
Yeah, she tests them and stuff. And
I don't know.
She runs the place.
Is she the leader? Yeah. Right. I guess it doesn't. The question is, was he, because there was like a whole mob thing going on? We can only assume that it was a walker that bit him because.
What if it was the guy? What if it was the drug addict?
Why would a human being bite another human being?
We had this conversation before. I was reading World War Z, the book, not the freaking movie, the book, and people would have psychological breaks where they would act like, okay, if I can't beat him, join him.
Oh, I don't buy that. So you're saying that it was somebody pretending to be a walker?
I'm not saying it's just any random. No, I'm talking about the drug addict who was on drugs. Okay, so we already know he's not stable. Probably bit him.
Because he said he was acting like a walker. Like,
yeah, they mistaken him for a zombra.
I like zombra better than walker.
Yeah,
I like saying zombra. Hey man, let's watch all the zombras. Okay.
But then also he's like, there were limbs, jaws, and blood. I'm like, limbs and jaws? That's really specific.
Oh, he's trying to say that it was chaos, basically.
Yeah, I don't know. I just really want to know more about this drug addict character and what kind of drug he was on.
The way he said it was like, he was on some weird stuff, and to this day, I don't know what he took.
They made him mean. I'm like, mean as in what? Mean as in like violent.
it was like basically saying it was some nasty drugs. I don't know. I want
another flashback.
Probably might get it actually. The way this series is going, because they're into flashbacks apparently. So
people love flashbacks.
Well, they don't do that on the original series, but on this one they do it quite a bit.
And it works because it's so early in the apocalypse that you want to know people's stories. Like now it doesn't make sense because what happened? We're in the woods season five. Like okay, we were all in the woods.
But like, it's not like it makes sense. It's just that's just what the directors and the creators of Fear the Walking Dead have chosen to do. They said, okay, we're okay with flashbacks. Whereas the original, they were not
because
okay.
Because the writers are lazy and don't want to make the characters tell the story, tell it freaking correctly so we could picture it without having to force feed us a damn flashback. So I'm excited for these flashbacks because it fills in the blanks that they don't appropriately discuss in the show.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was my rant.
Well, at least they don't set us back. You know, in the original series, they go forward. And then the next episode, they roll the timeline all the way back with another character's point of view. And then move forward again. I hate when they do that. It's like...
Because it throws you off. It's like, oh, if I don't like this character, I have to sit through this whole hour of this BS.
No, I'm just saying it's like another character's point of view. Because that's what I thought was going to happen at the beginning of this episode. I thought, because then when they showed Madison and Strand, I said, oh, now we're going to find out during Alicia's time what Madison and Strand was doing all this time. So we're not actually moving forward. We're just...
Oh, we're going back to match up in timelines.
Yeah, parallel.
But they filled it in.
But then right away, they just skipped the nighttime and they jumped to...
Yeah, the next day when they find Alicia.
Opening the door and it's like, oh, okay, great. We didn't have to sit through this whole thing.
What more could they say though, really? It's like, okay, we slept.
Yeah. I'm just saying...
I had a nightmare. I tossed and turned.
Well, I'm just saying I'm glad they didn't do that. So.
Yeah, I am too. Yeah, so they talk about the bite, and he seems satisfied, and...
No, not really, because...
Well, he's asking questions.
I like how Nick, looks at his bite, and he touches it,
the second coming or something.
Yeah, he wants to get healed by it or something, I don't know.
God, this show, this Nick is so weird. He's such a spiritual person. And then they have this cute scene where, Luciana is playing again with the flirting. Luciana is the only adult on the soccer team. So he's like, wow, she's good with kids. And then he's like, wow. And then she's like, wow, he can play with kids. And we already know Nick's like super suave with kids. You know, he's one of those guys that like kids love him. And then, of course, they had to throw in like this dramatic, Pablo's dead thing, and so it just ruined.
Well, this episode is called Pablo and Jessica,
which is actually pretty cool that they named it that because
it's the parallels of one person dying and another person dying. Mm-hmm.
And again,
I'm going to rant about the writers are again using Nick's drug addiction. It's like, I know how to water down drugs. I'm an expert at this. I can do this.
Oh my gosh. And the music? The like alternative music?
It says, like, I have a limited but refined skill set.
Yeah, I know. Is this 2005 where we just discovered that we can computer hack and we're going to add this like super like punk rock song as he speeds through with all these like drug thing? Oh my God. I was like, why do I feel like I'm watching like Tom Cruise in, some spy movie?
Basically, the whole thing is Nick is the drug expert and
they're really milking that.
Every way that we can say, okay, he has a unique angle in the apocalypse and we're going to use it.
And the classic, what he's done with the drugs, he's like, he holds it up and we have a frame where they're zooming out or the pill. He's like, these are pretty good. This might pass.
And they're smiling and high-fiving and stuff. And,
and they have all these like, oh God, it's like every movie I've ever seen.
And then all of a sudden Alejandro cares about him. Oh, don't overwork yourself. I don't pay overtime. Okay.
And I still don't understand how he helped them, how Nick saved them.
Well, because the thing is they only had a limited supply of pills and apparently the deal is if you give us like a bottle or two bottles a week or something, or like every certain time, then we'll give you food in exchange.
Oh, yeah. So this buys him time so they can get more food.
Right. So now that he stretched the pills out, it can get more food. Yeah.
I like how their tune changed when, like, they went from, you can't make decisions for the group, to, like, you are worthy. Here's your own house. You know, welcome to the club.
He just happened to have an open space there.
He's like, oh, I need the bed. He was in the infirmary the whole time. This whole time he was sleeping in a cot next to sick people.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't need all this. I'm like, yeah, you do. You might get infected just by being in that farm, in that hospital. Jeez, man.
And also, Nick was saying that it was interesting how he said, I've changed my attitude, and I was, like, very nice to them, to the dealer people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. I even called them senor.
Whoa. Wow, Nick is being domestic. He's such a rebel that he has to be nice now.
We're really killing this episode.
I know.
We're killing
this. They put us with the filler episode. They deserve it. Come on. You don't stick a show that's already getting bad reviews because it's not as cool as The Walking Dead with a filler episode. Not now.
Yeah.
But yeah,
again, the only redeeming quality was that Nick hit it off with Luciana.
The only reason why I still watch the show is because I love talking about it on the podcast. That's the only reason why I was like, this is worth it.
Yeah. And I can't think of anything to talk about anything else, because that's about it. That was the whole
this is gonna be a short episode
thing, you know.
I have a limited but refined skill set.
It's just like what's his name,
Liam Nielsen.
I have a specific set of skills.
Your skills.
And I will use them upon you when I find you. Oh my goodness.
I don't know. I felt like, oh my gosh, let's put every quote that we've seen and, like, cliche gimmick that we've ever seen put into one episode.
I can tell you, like, the future, if they get in a jam, just put blood on their face. It's good.
Just put some, just spray.
Hey, that's a good idea. Why dirty your face when you can spray it?
Yeah, we call it blood and go. Just spray the blood and go.
Udo Zombra. We'll have some Udo Zombra.
Oh
my goodness. This is like, okay. If they do the blood on the thing one more time, I'm going to just, that's it. I'm done.
You're calling it quits. You're dropping the mic, literally.
No, we're going to still watch. Because I want to see... Again, I want to see the group get together and see what's happening with us. The only thing I'm kind of hoping for to see what.
Oh yeah, we didn't see Travis and what's that kid's face? That annoying kid, Chris. Yeah.
Well, we know what happened there. Travis is pissed off at Chris, and Chris wants to hang out with the cool kids.
I like how you have in the notes. Luciana turns around and kisses him, comma and more dot dot dot.
Well, obviously they move off camera on an angle going downwards. so they went onto the bed, probably.
Keep it in PG-13, guys.
Yeah, we can show guts, but we can't show having sex.
Yeah, I know. They don't even show that anymore. Everything's getting so, like, I think we're just used to all the blood and guts from the other show, which is coming out in October.
Yeah, you're looking forward to that?
Yes.
I think there's a 1 week break between the show and the
right. Get to catch up with all the episodes.
Yes. Because we're disappointing our fans.
I know. I've just been swamped with school stuff. Oh, I started a YouTube channel. So if you guys want to check it out.
Are you sure you want people to watch you?
Well, I want the fans from this show to see what I'm doing. Like, I'm officially becoming public.
Ooh.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you haven't already found me, but I mean, if you haven't found me yet, find me on the social medias.
Are we going to reveal what the channel name is, or?
Yeah. Should I? I mean,
are they going to find you?
I only have a few videos up there, but if you guys watch it and you guys encourage, well, I mean, I should do it on my own. I don't need encouragement, but if I feel like I have a fan base, it might encourage me to actually make more videos.
Well, now you have to, you're committed now. If you tell people and they go and they don't see more videos, then
I'm already getting from friends because I put my videos on Facebook. Like, so when's the next video coming out, Jasmine? I'm like, oh, the pressure. And it's good because it makes me do stuff.
So what's the channel? You know what I mean? What's the channel name?
The channel is called It's Just Jazzy with a J-A-S-Y, no Z. And, or you can look up you can look it up by my name or The Walking Dead Girl, because I put the pictures in all my videos, The Walking Dead Girl.
Oh, you put that tag in there?
Mm-hmm.
It's see, I'm just to Jazzy.
No, it's just Jazzy. It's a breathy. It's just Jazzy. Yeah, no comma in the it's, because, you know.
No apostrophe, you mean.
Oh yeah, apostrophe, because we on the internet and we thugs and we don't need to do grammar. We don't do grammar.
So youtube.com/ it's just Jazzy.
It's just Jazzy. Yeah, exactly. And or you can just put it in the search bar whenever the next time you're on YouTube. And I'm really proud of those videos. I worked really hard on them. I made all of them the 2 weeks I was in LA by myself. Without school, before school started, because I had a lot of free time.
Now everything's gone down the tubes.
Yeah, everything is out the window now. But I'm coming out with a video this weekend, and...
You promise?
I don't make promises, Dad. First rule of being a YouTuber, don't promise your audience that you're going to put out a video if you're not sure you're going to put out a video.
Because the promise is going to be broken.
Yeah, I'm either... I'm going to try to post...
And they're going
to
get mad at you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to try to post at least once a week, and if I don't...
How about every 2 weeks?
Yeah, every 2 weeks, because it just that seems more manageable. Because I want to post good quality stuff. I could post one video a week, but then it would be crap. You're like, wow, why is this content here? You know, this is stuff that's going to be on the internet forever. I can't mess around with that stuff. I'm an actor. I'm a professional actor. But, well, yeah.
Okay, so well, now you're going to have more people, because we have a lot of people on this, a lot of listeners to this podcast that care about you and your background and what you're doing off
yeah,
the podcast.
Yeah, you can keep up with me, because it's my YouTube channel is about my experiences with a comedic twist, obviously, because no one wants to just hear me talk about, like, just lecturing about my life. You want to make it interesting.
Plus, you can talk about anything you want. It's your channel, right?
Exactly.
Well, this was a very uplifting podcast, considering the down episode we had. At least
I know,
hopefully we made it interesting for some people.
Yeah, all of our bad jokes
to get through this episode,
this grueling episode.
Hopefully the next one is going to be a little bit more interesting. And that's it.
Well, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you all for listening to this episode. If you like what you hear, please tell your friends and everyone you know. We love getting new subscribers.
Is that your new sign out?
Everyone you know, because I'm learning upglide in school. So whenever I ask a question, people usually say, are you going out tonight? And that's boring. You got to say, are you going out tonight? Tonight? Like, are you going out tonight? Because I guess that's how people really talk.
Well, one thing I read somewhere, I don't know if this is true, but they say that you should talk like with up and down.
Fluctuations,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like increase and then decrease, you know?
That's what literally the last...
I keep doing that, up and down, up and down. But don't be monotone.
Yeah, the last week
like
of
me.
School. Yeah, I know, Dad. You got to step it up. You have a podcast.
It's not a good thing to be monotone. You have to be exciting and, you know, calm at the same time. But it's important to be exciting, because then people like excitement.
But and it's also interesting. It is interesting. Anyway, you can send email feedback to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. And as always, this is Jasmine.
And I'm Michael. Stay alive. Did you end up making it for the a cappella group?
Oh, I have an update on that. I don't know yet, because the last auditions are on Friday, because it was all week. So I don't think they're going to give out the who's in until they finish all the auditions. But I was talking to my friend in the parking lot after class one day, and then like Michael Ryan, the guy who runs it, who's so hot, by the way. He's in Company. He's from England. And I'm like, oh my God, he's so cute. He like hit me on the head with like a yoga mat or something. I don't freaking know what it was, but I was like, what the hell? And it hurt. Cause he's like, oh, sorry. I thought it was going to be soft. I was like, no. And then, but I was like, it's okay. You're cute. So that's fine. I didn't say that, but like, that's what I felt. And he said, so what did you think about your audition? Or like, what do you think? I'm like, it's cool, but it was a little short. I confronted him. I'm like, I don't know. I got bad vibes from it. And he's like, well, that's because we know when we know, you know? And I was like, okay, is that a good thing? He's like, yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And then he walked away. I'm like, okay, I guess I did okay. Because he was smiling. He's like, yeah, we know when we know, you know? I was like, okay. But yeah, that's my life.